I want to share just a couple of scriptures with you tonight on the subject of God our Father. God our Father being our Father. Now, there's so much that could be said on this subject, but there are a couple of scriptures that began to speak to me as I was thinking of just this thought to share and to remind you tonight before we go back to prayer and on the subject of God being our Father tonight. Now, the scriptures tell us in Deuteronomy, Moses is writing to the Israelites, the people of God, and he's sharing his final thoughts with them. And as he begins to do that, he asks them a question. He says, isn't he your father who created you? Isn't he your father who created you? And the word create there means who purchased you, who redeemed you. And it's a picture of course, of how the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt. But it's also a type of how you and I were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And how the Bible says we are created anew in Christ Jesus. And so it's the Lord who has created us, is God who has redeemed us, is God who has bought us. He has purchased us with his own blood because he loves us. Hallelujah. Because he loves us. But he doesn't end there. He says, has he not made you and established you? Folks, and the word made here means to prepare you. He prepares you. It means to bring about, it means to fashion you and I. It's like the potter who fashions the clay, right? The potter's relationship with the clay. The clay is on the wheel. The clay is before the potter. And while the clay is there before the potter, the clay has the potter's absolute attention. Absolute undivided attention. And you need to know that you have your father's absolute undivided attention. Hallelujah. His undivided attention. And when the clay is in the potter's house, the clay goes through different stages in its development as it's being fashioned into a vessel that the father, that the potter can actually use. There's a drying phase, right? There are times where we feel extensively dry. You come to the house of God and you don't feel anything, right? You go to the prayer closet and you don't feel anything. You're reading your word and you don't feel anything. Right? You feel dry like toast. You're just dry, right? Well, that's one of the stages. That's one of the stages. And the drying stage is a stage that is constantly, that the clay constantly has to go through as it's being prepared. Another stage is the stage where the clay is being pressed and squeezed. Somebody say amen. Or somebody say ouch. But that's part of the development of the clay into a vessel as well, where that clay is being squeezed, where it's being pressed, where it's put into circumstances and situations, where it's pressed on all sides. There's all kinds of pressure. And some of us want to get out of those pressure situations, but the Father has put you in that situation to mold you and shape you into the vessel you need to be, to cause you to depend on him. Hallelujah. You're being fashioned in that stage. Another stage is the fire, the furnace, right? Where that clay, that vessel is put into a furnace where it's being baked, it's glazed over and it looks pretty, but then it's put into a furnace so that glaze can dry and get hardened. And then that vessel is put back on a shelf again for another season of dryness. Wow. So all part of that fashioning phase. But he's our father and he knows what he's doing, where he's making you. And these phases, these seasons are appointed by God. Has he not made you? Has he not appointed you for those seasons of being pressed and squeezed? But he also appoints you to bear fruit. He ordains you to bear fruit, hallelujah, for his glory. He says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Hallelujah. But it doesn't end there. It says, has he not made you and established you? And I like that word established. That word established means to be made firm, to be established firmly, to be made stable. Where you're not up one day and down the next, up one day and down. I'm not talking about emotions now, because our emotions, you know, are just like that. Our feelings flip-flop constantly, right? You can wake up in the morning and you feel great, and then by the afternoon you feel horrible, right? But the Lord causes us to stand. He makes us stable. He establishes us. The word establish also means to set up, to erect like a building. To erect a building, to make it to stand. And that's what the Lord does in your life and mine as our Father. Hallelujah. But the Father plays other incredible roles in our lives. According to the scripture, he protects us, right? Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6 through 6 says this, he's the father to the fatherless and a defender of the widows, a protector. This is God, whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free, and he gives them joy. Hallelujah. This is our Father, folks. God, our Father. Another one of the great duties of a father in Scripture was to teach God's law continually to his children. And that's what the Lord does with you and I. He teaches us his law, his commandments, his way. He begins to speak to us. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 through 21, the Lord began to speak to the children of Israel about how they were to teach their children his ways and his laws. And he says, speak of them when thou sittest in thine house. So when you're in your house, the Lord will come and he will begin to speak to you in your devotional times. He says, speak to them on the way. And so sometimes while you're traveling to and from work or school or your home, the Lord can come and speak to you. I can tell you times where I was just driving home and the Lord would just begin to speak to me in the car. I'm not even thinking about anything. And then all of a sudden his presence would come and I would begin to hear his still small voice begin to speak to me in my heart about certain things. A father was to speak to their children even when they would be lying down. It's like when you would lay your kids down and you speak over their lives, even as Pastor Han shared about praying, putting his hand on the child and praying for them and touching them. But sometimes when we're doing devotions with our children and they seem so uninterested, right? They're rolling their eyes, their arms are crossed. They're thinking, they're like, oh God, you know? And you're thinking, Lord, is anything sinking in? Well, I want you to know as a youth pastor, it doesn't matter what their outward exterior says. The word of God, according to Isaiah, does not return void. It will accomplish what he pleases and it will prosper in the way he sends it. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you rise up, that your days might be multiplied, the days of your children as the days of heaven upon the earth. When you rise up, the Lord promises to speak to us the same way we were commanded to speak to our children concerning his word and his way. The scriptures also tell us that those who believe on him and accept him, he gives the right to become children of God. He gives the power to live like children of God. Romans 8 tells us that he has adopted us and that we've received his spirit as his own children. And now we call him Abba Father. Abba Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. His spirit will come to you and begin to remind you that you belong to him, that you are his children. That no matter what the enemy says, that he is your father and that he cares about you. Matthew 6 tells us, when you pray, don't babble on as the people of other religions do. They think that their prayers are answered merely by repeating repeating their words again and again. He says, don't be like them. That's what Jesus said. For your Father knows exactly what you need. He knows your need tonight online. So not only does he adopt us, not only does he protect and defend us, not only does he bear witness with our spirit, but he knows everything we need before we even ask him. Matthew 6 tells us that our Heavenly Father forgives us. So it doesn't matter what you've done tonight. He forgives you. He also tells us that when we pray in secret, our Father will reward us openly. So when you're praying and fasting, you need to know that the Lord sees that and he promises to reward you. Matthew 10 also tells us that he will begin to speak through us. It says this, for it is not you who will be speaking when you stand before judges and magistrates and teachers on your campus. Hallelujah. When they tell you there is no God. The Bible tells us that when you open your mouth, it will be your Father speaking through you. So folks, when you open your mouth on your job, it's the Father speaking through you. I said, it's the Father speaking through you. If you're in that restaurant and you decide because you feel a burden, an inkling on the inside, a stirring on the inside, you decide to speak to the waiter or waitress and tell them, Jesus loves you. God cares about you. Do you know it's the Father speaking through you? Hallelujah. Scripture, the Apostle Paul said this, I'm writing to all of you who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. He says this, may God our Father, and that's where that title came from, God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. God our Father, folks. Would you say that? God my Father. He's your Father. Galatians 1:4, Jesus gave his life for our sins just as God our Father planned in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. Tonight, you have a Father who cares, who loves you, who knows everything you're going through tonight. I was thinking of some of the praise reports that were written in that attest to this fact. Here's one. A, from Staten Island, New York. After leaving my job in December because of much oppression, I am happy to report that I will be starting a new job with a local organization where I won't have to commute. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Here's Ade from New York, New York. A dear friend is expecting a baby after 10 years of painful struggle with fibroids and infertility. Glory to God. 10 years, folks. Here's someone from Toronto, Canada. Thanks, church, for your prayers. I submitted a prayer request for a driving test and God answered. My license was to expire on that day. I failed the test many times before. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I love it. He cares about everything, folks, even the little things. Here's Marion from New York, New York. My problems with the IRS are solved. Thanks for praying for me. Hallelujah. Here's someone writing from Narrow Gateway Ministries in Belhaven, Virginia. Praise the Lord for his victory over the enemy regarding the lease to our ministry property. It was a spiritual battle and the Lord proved faithful to his promises. Thank you, TSC, for praying. Hallelujah. Here's one from Gastonia, North Carolina. I have been praying for a co-worker's marriage, and she just told me 2 days ago that it has been restored. Hallelujah. Jamaica, New York. Pastor Patrick, God answered all our prayers. You said trust in him. Well, he did a miracle and stopped the eviction. My two kids and I are safe. Hallelujah. Folks, that was last week. Folks, I said that was last week. And God our Father, hallelujah, came through. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Chris from Bridgeport, Connecticut. I've been out of work for over 2 years, began a new job today, and I know I will love it. I am 64 years old. God is good. Hallelujah. Someone from New Jersey. There is no one I love more than my God. God has answered my prayer and filled my fridge with so much food, I can even share with my neighbors and my friends. I love you, Lord, my Savior and provider. Folks, we've got a reason to praise him. I said, we have a reason to praise him.